Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
When we moved into our house, or when our house was being built in our neighborhood, it was like a lot of home construction areas. There's homes being built all over the place, and construction workers are there putting these homes together, and we bought one of the first homes in our neighborhood, so for a while, most of the neighbors that we had were empty houses or houses being put up. And we had quite a few construction workers in our neighborhood putting up homes and roofing and putting in tile. And with that, they had several porta potties set up all throughout our neighborhood. Porta potties, the little portable potties that these construction workers could use to go and use the restroom. And so on one occasion, my wife was leaving our neighborhood, and the guy who comes to clean out the porta potties in his big truck came, and she said, "This is what happened." She said, "I was getting ready to leave the house, and I was going down the street. The guy saw me driving out of our little street, and he blocked my way with his truck. He blocked it in order to suck some of the stuff out of this porta potty." And you would think the guy would be nice enough to say, "Just hold on 1 second, or I'm going to pull aside so you can get through." But instead, he continued to block my wife's exit from that street. So my wife was looking at him like, "Are you going to move?" And instead of saying, "Hey, 1 second, hold on, I'm almost done," the man with a very angry scowl on his face began to yell at my wife, like, "You know, just hold on, like I'm doing my job and all that." And my wife, rather than amplifying the situation, she just waited patiently. Well, then I came home, and later that night over dinner, she said, "I had this guy who blocked my way, and he was cleaning out the porta potties, and he was just mean about it and just really angry about it." And I said, "Tara, you got to give the guy a break, because all the research studies show that the worst job in many areas that people show is the porta potty cleaner guy, right? Because all day for 8, 9, 10 hours a day, all you're doing is driving to potties all around Greater Houston and sticking this hose down and sucking up the mess and then filling it with clean fill and then wiping everything down. This guy is literally dealing with mess all day. Everybody else's mess, right? And so because of that, he's going to be angry. He's not going to be happy. But you know what? I believe that there's an even tougher job than being the porta potty cleaner. And I know you can probably guess what that job is. Yes, being a father, Joe, being a father. It's being a pastor, actually. Yeah. No, it's being a mother. It's being a mother. It's being a mother. It's being a mother is, I believe, to be the toughest job. And we're going to look at today from the Bible why that is. Turn your Bibles, Matthew 23. We're going to look at verse 37 and actually a whole bunch of scriptures. And I'm hoping to just encourage the moms today. Because I know moms, often it's a thankless job. The Bible tells us to honor our father and mother, not just on Mother's Day, but every day, so that it may go well with you, that you would live a long life. But Matthew 23:37 is where we're going to start today. Why the job of being a mom is so tough. And it's really one word of why it's so tough. Matthew 23:37. Just hold your finger there. Let me give you a theology. Let me give you a little theology. In Genesis 1:27, it says that God created us in his image. And it says male and female, he created them. So here's the thing. We see God the Father as being a father. That's his personification as the Father. And we can understand that because we have earthly fathers. He's also pictured, God is pictured as God the Son, as Jesus Christ. We can understand that because some of us have brothers, perhaps, we know, sons. But the Spirit, if you've seen the movie The Shack, is personified as a black woman, right? Because the Holy Spirit is our comforter and has what we call more motherly personalities or characteristics. And so here's the thing, and this is not heretical, but we should not pray like God the Mother or anything like that. God is asexual. He's not male or female. He's both. We're created in God's image, both male and female. And we're going to look at today several instances in the Bible in which God takes on more motherly characteristics. And I'm not saying because of that we call him God the Mother. And to say that God is our father and mother nature is our mother is also heretical as well. But in these passages we're going to look at today, we're going to find this picture of God's motherly side. So look at Matthew 23, 37. He says this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers." So he's grieved over that. "How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." So the picture that Jesus gives about his concern, about God's concern for his people, and the grief he has over what they're missing out on is a picture of a mother hen with her chicks. Again, here's a male, Jesus the Son, God the Father. And the picture they give is of a mother hen protecting her chicks under her wings. Are you all with me? And during times of danger, this is what chicks will naturally do. As our children will naturally run to us. So here's point number one. A mother sacrificially protects. A mother sacrificially protects. A mother walks in the ways of God when she protects her children. When she protects her children. Now here's the thing. I believe it's up to the man, the husband, the father to protect his family. Amen? We should protect our families. And so here, though, it shows this picture of the mother hen protecting her chicks. And this is where I would say is the man, the husband, should be the protector of his wife and his family spiritually and physically. All right, spiritually and physically. That's why for men, we should have knee pain because we're on our knees always praying for our family. We should have a discernment and always seeing what kind of evil and spiritual evil is coming into our family. We should have that. The music our kids are listening to, TV programs our kids are watching, the books they're reading, what they're learning in school. As husbands and fathers, we should protect our kids. And we should be willing to physically protect our family. Amen? And I think we understand that inherently as warriors, as men, that we should protect our family. My daughter Grace went to the prom recently, and we don't allow her or her sister to date until they turn 18. And Grace just turned 18 on Tuesday, so now she's like, woo, I can start dating. But we said, hey, the prom, if you have guys that want to take you, so she went with two other girlfriends, but if there's three other guys that want to take you as a group to the prom, you know, I want to meet the guys. Tara and I want to meet the guys, but, you know, you're welcome to do that. And I was so ready for that. I had my guns, like, all, you know, like, dirty. They needed to be cleaned. And I was going to sit them on the table, and I was going to have Joe come as well and introduce the guys. You know, this is Uncle Little Joe. They're going to say, why you call him Little Joe? Because I was going to say, because he's the littlest of all the uncles, right? And I was ready to intimidate them. And then even our daughter, Kimmy, she's in college. And you know, every now and then she'll say, hey, you know what? For spring break, we're thinking about coming down to Galveston. And I've got some both girlfriends and guy friends from my college. And she's like, don't worry, Dad. These guys are godly guys who love the Lord. But, you know, I want to be ready to protect my children. But a mom's job is this, to relationally and emotionally protect their daughters and children. Amen? Because they understand what it means to be a woman. And so this is what my wife does. And we don't have a son, so I don't know what it looks like with a son. But my wife is always ready to protect our children emotionally and relationally. When they're vulnerable, she's always there to protect them. Recently, we had this situation. Every now and then we'll get random texts from our kids. So I'm at City Refuge, my wife at University of Houston, and Grace sends this text, and the text said, I just got called to the assistant principal's office for stealing a cell phone, all right? And so then Tara was like, do I need to come up to the school right now? And I said something like, I'm praying for you, right? And so then a few minutes later, Grace said, it's okay, everything is clear, we're good now. So when she got home, this is what happened. She told us a story. She said, and this is an important lesson for those of you with children and why character is important. Being a man or woman of integrity is important because your reputation, your character is always going to precede you. So there's a new assistant principal at her school. She just got hired that week, brand new assistant principal. And this is what happened. A young lady went to use the restroom, left her cell phone there, and then she went to class, and she forgot her cell phone in the restroom. And so for those of you who are, like, new to this, this is probably new for all of us who grew up, like, who are probably 30 and older, most high schools now have HD cameras everywhere, high-definition cameras everywhere. They monitor everything the students say that the students do. Matter of fact, we were at her banquet this week, and they were in the cafeteria, and Tara said, looking up, so here's the cafeteria, and it was like a prison. There's like an office right above the cafeteria with windows, you know, and a warden with a gun, like, you know, like waiting for the kids to mess up. And so she went to the assistant principal's office. So Grace got called to the assistant principal's office. She goes, assistant principal she's never seen before, and there's a police officer from the school as well, from the school district. And so then Grace is thinking this, okay, I'm getting called to the assistant principal's office, and she's thinking, man, did I win student of the month again? That's what she thought, because she got called totally out of the blue. Assistant principal calls her in, and so the assistant principal said, this is about, and she said, do you know what this is about? And again, Grace is thinking like, did I win student of the month? Is this some award thing, you know? And then she said, do you know what this is about? And Grace said, no, I don't know what this is about. And she said, this is about a stolen or missing cell phone, missing cell phone. So Grace pulls out her cell phone and goes, I've got my cell phone, right? And she said, no, not your cell phone. You've been accused of stealing someone's cell phone. And Grace is like, what are you talking about? So then she has her computer monitor with a video on it, and she says, watch this. And there's a video in high definition of Grace leaving her classroom. You can see every strand of hair, all her, like, you know, just everything. She's walking out into the hallway, and it switches to another angle in another hallway, and then it shows her walking into the girls' bathroom. Girls' bathroom, no cameras in there. And it shows her walking out of the bathroom, down the hall, switch again to the other camera, back into her classroom. The assistant principal goes, is that you? And I'm sure Grace is thinking, like, duh, like, you can see every wrinkle and all that stuff. That's me. That's obviously me. And she said, well, this is what happened. Young lady used the restroom, left her cell phone there. There's only two girls that we saw go into that restroom after she did, you and this other girl. And the other girl said she saw you take that cell phone. So Grace says, look, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't have a cell phone. I didn't take it. So the assistant principal said, we're still investigating this. You're welcome to go back to your room. So she goes back to her class. And fourth period or later on, they call her back again to the assistant principal's office. Police officer's there. Now the girl is there as well, the girl that's accusing her. And so then the assistant principal says to the girl, is this the young woman that you said you saw steal the cell phone? And by this point, now the girl backs up and's like, I don't remember. I don't think so. It was a mixed girl, but I don't remember if it was her or not. And so by this point, the assistant principal realizes that Grace has probably been falsely accused, so she said, you can go. You can go back to class. So Grace goes back to class and then is in her last class of the day. Really, it's an art class that she's there for. Didn't really have class. She's working on some projects. And her art teacher says to her, like, hey, what happened this morning? And Grace is like, what do you mean? She said, I got called into the assistant principal's office, and the assistant principal said, Grace was in your class. She left your class, went to the bathroom, accused of stealing a cell phone, came back to the class, and she said, did you see her with a stolen cell phone? And at this point, Miss Garzell, the art teacher, starts laughing. And she's like, that is the last girl in the world I would think would even steal a cell phone. And the reason why is because she had her in eighth grade, and then had her sophomore, junior, and now even senior year. When Grace went to Japan last year with the exchange program, she was the student or faculty advisor with that. So she said, I've traveled, Grace. I've had Grace. That's the last thing Grace Soma would do. And so it's important, y'all, to have your reputation precede you. But Tara was ready to go up there, especially since there was a police officer there. I mean, this is now a criminal matter, and the parents should have been called to say, you know what, your son or your daughter has been accused of stealing a cell phone. But again, I think it's the role of moms to protect our children emotionally and relationally. Let me give you several verses. If you have a pen, write these down. We're going to look at the very last one. Psalm 17:8 talks about us being under God's wings. Psalm 17:8. I'm going to give you six verses. We're going to turn to the last one. Psalm 37:1. And then lastly, look at Psalm 91:4. This is a verse we're going to memorize as groups. Psalm 91:4. Psalm 91:4. Sure. Psalm 17:8. Psalm 36:7. Psalm 57:1. Psalm 61:4. Psalm 63:7. Psalm 17:8, 36:7, 57:1, 61:4, and 63:7. And now finally Psalm 91:4. Does anyone have bingo at all? Bingo? Just kidding. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers. So again, picture the eagle in the nest with its little chicks, eaglets. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. And notice this. So there's no physical wings or feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Another great reason why we need to study God's word and know the promises of God, because he says here, God's faithful promises are your armor and protection. God is always faithful to his promises, and his promises protect us. Look at this verse. Have you heard about the whole mama bear thing? Mama bear, Hosea 13:8. So look at Daniel and the prophets, and the first minor prophet is Hosea 13:8. About a mom protecting her children. And look at this picture too. Hosea 13:8. Like a bear, mama bear, whose cubs have been taken away, I will tear out your heart. And this is all about Hosea, God's faithful love and his protection and his, even his discipline. He says, I will devour you like a hungry lioness, not a male lion, a lioness, and mangle you like a wild animal. And so, even God, God himself, has that mama bear picture of where he cares for his children and will go to any lengths to protect his children. So a mother sacrificially protects. Next one is this. Look at Hosea 11. Hosea 11. We'll turn over two chapters. Hosea 11. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, they're going to picture of us and God's love for us. I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to him, the farther he moved from me, offering sacrifices to the image of Baal and burning incense to idols. I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand, just like a baby learned how to walk. But he doesn't know or even care that it was I who took care of him. I led Israel along with my ropes, my kindness and love. I lifted the yoke from his neck, and I myself stooped to feed him. And again, it's this picture of a mother feeding and caring for their child. So point number two, a mother sacrificially loves. A mother sacrificially loves. Offering, a mother sacrificially loves. And like we looked at during the series, Community of Love, love is a sacrificial choice, not a feeling. Love is a sacrificial choice of providing good or doing good to somebody else without anything in return. That's what love is. Love is a sacrificial choice. And that's why we really shouldn't sing Falling in Love with Jesus. The real song should be Choosing to Love Jesus. Choosing to love Jesus, because feelings are going to go away. I was on the phone yesterday doing some marital counseling. It was kind of a long day doing marital counseling, long distance. So this person called me, and they're going through some marital struggles. They've been married for about a year and a half. And those honeymoon feelings, feeling love, is now going away. And they have to move from feeling love to now choosing love. And this is the difficulty. Choosing love often requires sacrifice, and sacrifice is painful. And so both the husband and wife are like, I don't want to choose sacrifice. You choose sacrifice, right? No, you choose sacrifice. You really love me, you sacrifice for me. And they're going back and forth. And so I connected them with a couple in the same area as well. They've been married for 51 years, so they know what sacrifice is about, saying, would you walk with this couple? And so a mom sacrificially loves. She's willing to give up her comfort. She's willing to endure pain and sleepless nights for her children. And the last one is this, as we wrap up. Look at Isaiah. So turn over a couple major prophets. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Look at verse 14. Again, God's people. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Because of our disobedience, God's forgotten us. Look at verse 15. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Rhetorical question. Answer is no. But even if that were possible, I would never forget you. So here's God saying that I remember you. I'm faithful to you just like a mother nourishes her child. Feeds her child, cares for her child. So point number three, a mother sacrificially nurtures. A mother sacrificially nurtures. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Of course not. Can she feel no love for the child she was born? Of course not. He says the same is true of God. Look at the very last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 66, and we'll wrap up with this. Isaiah 66:13, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Again, it's this picture of God saying, just like a mother comforts her child during difficult times or storm or when they're sick, he says, God will comfort us. So point number three, a mother sacrificially nurtures. And so here's a big idea for today. God cares for us like a mother cares for her children. And the reason why being a mom is the toughest job is because it requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. Here's some community questions and applications. Number one, why does God regularly use a picture of taking shelter under his wings as a picture of his care for us? Number two, chicks naturally run to the protection of the hen during times of trouble, but why does our flesh naturally run the other way? How can we run to God during times of trouble? And as a group, memorize Psalm 91:4. And then lastly, for those of you with kids in our kids program, your kids are learning about this today as well. So here's some questions that you can ask them over lunch or dinner later today or even tomorrow. Let me close with this story. So Leonard Mosiah told me this is a true story. I read before that it's not, but he told me it's true. The Billy Graham of South Africa verifies the story. He's a farmer himself. And this is a mother hen with the chicks under her wing, that one day there was a fire at a farm and the barn was beginning to burn down. And so as the barn was beginning to burn down, the animals, the four-footed animals like the horses and goats, were able to escape this fire that was occurring in the barn. Eventually, the barn burned down to the ground. The next morning, the farmer went to examine this now burned-down rubble of a barn. And as he was sifting through the rubble and the ashes and the darkened pieces of wood, he saw the carcass of a mother hen there on the ground. And the carcass began to move and wiggle. And he wondered, what's going on with this burned carcass? And he lifted the wings of this mother hen and underneath found her chicks were still alive. The chicks had run to this hen for protection. And that's a picture of God's love for us, the fact that he's willing to lay down his life because he loves us, but also the picture of moms as well. They're willing to sacrifice for their children, and that's why we thank God for our moms today. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for the moms here today, and again, would you comfort those who've lost mothers and grandmothers today? God, thank you for our moms that walk with you, and because they walk with you, love us and protect us and nurture us and care for us, God. And God, thank you for you caring for us as well. God, we bless you for that. We honor you for that. I pray for moms here today who are tired, who feel like their work is pointless and fruitless. God, would you give them endurance and perseverance? Help them to see a vision and picture of what they are doing and who they're investing in, their children and their families. God, that they're leaving a spiritual legacy, a kingdom legacy by the sacrifices they make, God. God, we bless you for our moms today. In Jesus' name, amen.